Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
This is Brodor.
My name's Chad.
My name is Pat.
This is John.
First of all, Brodor, you owe us a report because... Last time you were on here, you said your homework was to rub one out to Shel Silverstein. Oh,
so there's no way, right? So I get home, I explain the story to my wife, she pulls a light in the attic off of the shelf, and my Audi becomes an innie. Like, there's absolutely no way. Like, I had an LSD flashback, and he looked at me and he said, fatwa. There's no way. I couldn't approach the bathroom. I couldn't take it. I couldn't try it. No, there's no way. I'm not saying it can't be done. I'm just not the guy. I mean, I had this sort of I'm not into dudes hurdle that I had to jump over anyway. But no, look at that face, man. There's no way.
He's going to hurt you. He's going to come out of the book and hurt
you. If he's ever been with another human being sexually, I am surprised and I want to meet that person. And it's all bent over. It's all backdoor stuff or, you know, doggy style stuff because they can't look at his face when they do it.
It's a scary man. I love his poetry. He's nightmare fuel, though.
So you guys are talking about something before we were rolling the mics that I probably can't air. But it did make me think of a story that has now become an inside joke amongst me and a couple of my other friends, the friends I cheat on you guys with.
I'm hurt. I'm heartbroken.
I know.
That's what my brother calls your real friends.
Right. So I think everyone currently on the mics has met my friend Jimmy, including you, I think, Broder. I think you might have met him in a movie.
I did. Yeah.
Okay.
I did.
Jimmy's a nice guy.
Yeah. Yep. Not that this narrows it down amongst geeks, but bald guy, goatee.
No.
Yeah. But the point is, all right, so Jimmy's wife is right now in school to become a nurse. Mm-hmm. And the place where she's working likes her enough that they have already promised her a job immediately upon graduation.
Awesome.
And in the meantime, they have her working as some kind of like a nurse tech, or I don't know what exactly her job title is, but it's some kind of
sponger.
That's not too far from the truth. Mm-hmm. Okay. So she's, you know, works a shift and she has room assignments where she goes in and does various tasks and whatever. Mm-hmm. And there's this guy that she works with who's a Russian immigrant, and he keeps pushing all of his work off on her. Like, anytime he has a room he's supposed to do, a patient he's supposed to take care of, whatever, he shoves it off on her to do it. And finally she has enough of it and basically says, no, you need to do your own work. At which point he puffs himself up real big and says, you must listen to me because I am Russian man.
Wow.
That's awesome.
And ever since that, like, when Jimmy was telling me this story, and I can't do it as well as he did it, I just freaking doubled over cracking up. This is like a caricature of a human being, okay? Yeah. And I'm not picking on Russians in general, because, of course, I recognize there are Americans that embarrass me for being American, all right? This happens in every culture. But ever since then now, anytime he and I say anything to each other, or doubly so whenever either of us say anything to his wife, we end it with, because I am Russian man. It's like, you must make me a cherry pie because I am Russian man.
I'll be a Russian man for a cherry pie. I love me some cherry
pie.
Me too.
Oh, it is good.
I love cherry pie. Yeah, it is. Like Warrant loved cherry pie.
Yes.
We're going to do one of our shorter episodes just because of the fact that I got to edit this thing and turn it around in about 24 hours.
Yeah, because as a fan, I got to tell you, it breaks my heart every time I click on, because I've got a little, you know, little, you know, earmark or whatever, and I click it, and I'm like, there's no new episode. What am I going to do?
All right, but, however,
ask for your money back?
We're hoping. Yes. We are hoping to record two tonight, and since that means I will have a week to edit the second one, if we are able to record two tonight, I intend to get back to our regular length of about a 60-minute show for the second one.
I'm not busting your balls, by the way. I'm just saying that as a fanboy, it's disappointing when there's not new product.
Yeah.
Izzy wants to be on the mics this time.
There's
too.
An awful lot of animal in this room. Like,
no, actually.
Yeah.
Actually, she's upset.
She knows right where to go when she's upset.
So one thing I do want to say, going back to the conversation that we can't air,
is it inappropriate
that my employees, that it's well known that I have gray pubes and that they refer to my pubic hair as Graybeard?
Graybeard. Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Is that wrong?
Do they refer to your pubes often?
So here's the deal. I don't shave. I don't truck with that. I just let it go. Like the 70s, I just let it go, right? Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that happens is that you can just pull those hairs over your belt and just to pull up a little bit of shirt, and you've got inches of pubic hair.
My God, why is Chris not on the mics right now? Because the two of you could totally bond on this shit.
I care about my
Oh, dude, I've been banging the same chick for 22 years, man. That hair's, it's,
I have a
whatever. Buzz cut. I'm not impressing anybody, right? But one of my employees is like, holy shit, you've got gray pubic hair. I'm like, oh yeah, I do. So anyway, they started calling
like,
it, calling
they are looking beard. At it.
Well, yeah, like, so you just kind
of... No, John, no, do not put that shirt back
you
down.
You just kind of pull some hair out, and then you just like walk you around do. With your shirt up like this, and yeah. you're just like, hey, there's you know, my pubic
like,
hair.
Like you do like, in front of your employee.
Like you yeah, do.
Sure. No, this comes up all the time. I walk into work, I pull my pants down, let the pubic hair spill over. See where it goes.
I don't work for a bunch of fascist freedom haters, man. We just let it go. We just do our thing. Yeah. I mean, we get paid crap, but... I can show my pubic hair and not get it a sexual assault claim or any sort of sexual harassment thing because I refuse to say harassment.
Well, no, I appreciate that. The final part, I appreciate that, yes. And I appreciate scenario over scenario and all that kind of crap.
Because it's not harassment without ass.
Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, come on.
Anyway, I just I wanted to bring that up.
I love it.
Because we say inappropriate
stuff. Dude, I
want
to see your gray pubes.
No. Are you serious?
No, so that's fine.
All right.
You guys can do that out front.
I'm going to relate
to
Gabe.
Boy, am I glad to be remote on this one.
I'm going to relate to Gabe.
Okay, just like out
of
here.
The
Go
first
ahead.
Time I noticed a gray pube, my buddy Anthony, God who's one it. Of the only two people in my group that Game Masters.
This should
Anthony
not be a
myself.
Gaming story.
Right. Hold on. So we're
Chris
playing,
is like dying.
We're playing, we're playing Legend of the Five Rings. Mm-hmm. And honestly, one of the most interesting... in-depth role-playing experience I've ever had in my life was this campaign. It was brilliant. But Anthony lives in this townhouse, and the townhouse in the bathroom has this huge mirror, right?
Yeah.
Behind the sink, behind the toilet, everything. So I get out my bait and tackle, and I'm one of those guys. I take the whole thing out, twig, the berries, cash, the prizes, the whole thing's coming out, right?
Uh-huh. And I strip completely naked when I go to the bathroom.
Like when you're pooping, like Rafi from the
anything.
League? So anyway, I look at the mirror and I'm like, hey, you know, yeah, I'm not too terribly disgusting. And then I was like, son of a bitch. And there's one gray, almost white hair among the sea of glorious darkness. And it's all been downhill from there.
Yeah. Wow. Did you yank it out?
No, hell no. Because, you know, if you pull one, then what do they say? 9 more show up.
Yeah. That's not how it works, but yeah, that's what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, well, I don't think that's science.
Oh, any foolish, ignorant wives' tale superstition, mm-hmm. I'm in.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Oh, my God.
Well, if you look at this picture of Shel Silverstein, you'll notice.
Look at that. What do you call it? Glorious darkness? Look
no
at that beard.
No gray hair.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I mean.
He got a gray hair. He got one gray hair on his head once. Look what he did to it.
I know.
He annihilated it.
Seriously. Anytime.
It was like Trinity, New Mexico.
That's mm-hmm. not even from shaving. He just looked at it in the mirror and the f***ing hair fell out of his head.
What he did is he grabbed his own image in the mirror and he chewed his f***ing hair off.
Yeah.
Threw it back there. He said, what do you think of that, bitch?
He made that face. He goes, and the f***ing hair just fell off of his head.
Yeah. It just ran away.
It ran down the sidewalk.
Yeah. Onto
found
Rodor's
the end and jumped the f*** off.
Oh. So bonus wow. episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is definitely a bonus episode.
Well, you're going to get your two.
Yeah.
You're
going
to get your two episodes. Look at that.
Yeah, oh, man.
We'll get all of this craziness out of ourselves, and then we'll talk about our real topic.
All right. So,
I was bleaching my the other day.
How do you bleach your own?
No, okay.
You need fogless mirrors.
Everybody settle down. Oh, all right. Look, go to your calm place.
Oh, okay, calm. Brodor, whip your out.
Yes.
Right. No. All right.
So I went to a party one time. Dan and I
God
have
this
friend.
This is not the topic.
Dan and I have this friend named Tommy, right? And Tommy, I've got a couple of stories about. I've got a lot of stories about Tommy. He's one of these real big personalities. You know, you have a party, everybody's talking. Tommy walks in the door. Everybody is surrounding Tommy. Everyone is talking about Tommy. He just has, his charisma is 30. 30 is not enough. He dials it up to 31. I mean, it's just insane. He is a very charismatic dude. And he wears boxer shorts. And he wears like Scooby-Doo boxer shorts. Or he'll have Ghostbusters boxer shorts. And he's really proud of this. And you can ask him at a party, and the man does not drink. He has never done drugs. He has never drunk a drop of liquor in his life. Complete straight edger, right? You ask him, like, hey, Tommy, what kind of underwear are you wearing? Oh, let's find out. Whips everything out, and he drops his shorts. It's just like you hear the jingle of the keys and stuff, and boom, and it just drops. And he's standing there in the middle of the party, everyone surrounding him. pants around his ankles and boxer shorts. It's like, oh, I'm wearing my Scoobies today. And, you know, everybody has a good laugh.
That's the confidence of a man with a huge He's got a huge doesn't he?
He, no joke, I asked him this at a party one time. The party trick. Hey, what kind of underwear are you wearing today? He's like, oh, I think I'm wearing my Ghostbusters. Drops them, and he realizes he was going commando that day. He's like, huh. Well, you look at that.
And they did.
They did. Yeah. My other favorite Tommy story.
Hey, you know what? Somebody's got to break the ice at the swingers parties.
Yeah. My other favorite Tommy story, though, is when he's standing there. I'm talking to him. The dude has piercings all over the place, right? He has them in his nose. He has them in his ears. Everywhere. Mm-hmm. And he has a couple intimate piercings as well. And so I'm standing there talking to him, and he's just like, oh, yeah, blah, 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 blah. Actually, he's like, man, blah, 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 blah. He's sort of this high-pitched voice. And all of a sudden, he's like, and blah, blah, blah. And he starts shaking his leg. And then all of a sudden, you hear, because we're standing on this tile floor, ta-tink, ta-tink, ta-tink. As one of his intimate piercings had come loose and fell right on out. And again, huh, look at that.
Oh, hey, Chad, do you want to pick that up for me?
I think that's exactly what he said, too.
Yes.
All right. So this is a bonus episode, but we're going to at least try and make it somewhat RPG related. And what you discovered about your nuts at an RPG does not count as RPG related.
I beg to differ.
This was a question. I don't know who the hell brought this up. Wayne, John, who knows? But here's the little game we're going to play. Five things. Well, it's five things. You know what? There's, I guess, five of us here, so one each. I don't know. You can go back in time and give yourself a bit of advice, specifically game-related, okay? So it has to be game-related.
Okay.
That's the one we're going to start with. Now, we could say, as a game master, set Pat doesn't GM. So maybe for
he
all
has
us,
GM before, though.
Okay, he has GM. All right, so we're going to say, if you go back in time and give yourself a bit of advice as a younger game master, and I've got a couple questions like this. We'll start with this one. What would it be? Let's start with Brodor.
Well, boy, that's tough because there's a lot of advice I'd want to give myself.
Okay.
There's a lot of things that I would want to go back. If 39-year-old me could go back to 17-year-old me and give gaming advice. But ultimately, and this is going to sound terribly arrogant, I would have to tell myself, look, the stories you write, the games that you run, they're great. You know, you're better than most of the people that you know that you're doing this in terms of running a game and creativity. If they don't like your game, fuck them.
My advice would be similar. If I could magically go back in time and I'm confronted with myself was like not asking me what stocks I should buy or what sports teams I should bet on, but ask me, well, what's some good gaming advice? Not how do I die or who do I marry or anything like that. I would say I will not give you any gaming advice because you're going to fuck up really hard a lot and you are going to totally fall on your face, but there's two things that are going to come from it. One, you're going to learn and get better. And two, it's going to be fodder for this podcast thing you're going to be doing. I can't really tell you anymore, but just trust me.
Chad, if you had a time machine and you could go back anywhere, no matter how far or near, but the only rule was the only way you could make money would be to bet on a sporting event, could you make a dollar?
No, he could not.
Oh, God. I can't even. I don't even. Cardinals, they win a lot of World Series.
Yes, but you
don't know what years, though.
Exactly.
Well, they don't win it with pitching like tonight.
Yeah. Here's okay, fine.
It'd have to be stock tips.
$1,000 on the 1999 Rams. I can't even imagine what the odds were at the start of that season.
That's true.
Yeah, that would have been a good.
That
Rams
good,
is football, right?
Yeah.
Were they in
St.
Louis in 99?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, they'd been St. Louis Struggers by that point.
That was their good season. Their one good.
No, they had
actually,
two.
Actually, the next season, I think the next season they went to the Super Bowl again, didn't they?
Yeah, Belichick's cheating ass.
Yeah.
Pat?
You know, you've got me over a barrel because I've only GM'd a couple times.
Fine, so, as a player.
As a player, I would sort of tell myself to not worry about some of the shit I worried about in games. And I would specifically tell myself a couple games to avoid and people to avoid that run them. That would be my biggest advice to myself is there's a certain asshole that just don't get involved with him in this game and just stay the fuck out of it. That's probably the
best.
Well,
I'm trying to avoid it because, if I was to start saying like, If I went back in time and got real honest with myself, it kind of goes to a dark place. So I'm
it kind of does. Yeah. I mean,
I'm trying to stick with the gaming
playing advice. Let's see. I'll tell you what I would advise myself to do probably is to branch out a little bit more and try to play more variety of characters, because even though I hope that I try to do that somewhat, I know that I have a particular, I don't know if I'd call it genre, but my wheelhouse is such that I have the certain kind of characters that I really like to play personality wise, or the kind of things, their background, this, that, and the other, that I really keep falling into. And just to say, variety is the spice of life.
I'd go back in time and tell myself to transfer high schools and meet Dawn 5 years earlier. She's a gamer.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah.
Yoin.
If I could go back in time, I would tell myself to not be as dedicated to the idea of making the plot fit what you would normally think of as a 3-act or a 5-act story, and let stuff grow more organically. You know, I really haven't moved very far off my initial position on the various DM axes since I started talking about it into the internet 8 years ago. The main source of motion has been, I really went in the olden days thinking, okay, I have a beginning and a middle and an end, and the players are going to affect it, of course, and I'm going to make the switching tracks and so on, but it needs to feel like a play or a film or a book. And now I don't really do that at all. I find the character hooks. I let my villains and my settings stand on their own, and if it doesn't read like a Shakespearean play, I don't bend over to try to make it happen.
I think my biggest piece of advice to myself would be to drop the maps. Well, that was a very short phase, fortunately. Yes, it was a very short phase. And you know what? This is why what you write in a role-playing book matters. Because for somebody, it's their first role-playing game. They don't know how to look at your idea and say, it's bad, or at least it's wrong for my group, and they're going to do it. And the fastest starter role-playing game said to draw maps for every area and use little counters for your people. And it just became nonsense because the game became confined to the maps and the players were always looking for some way to get off the maps, just, you know, whatever. But no, that's not my biggest piece of advice, because I got past that one, you know, relatively speaking, pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I think the bigger piece of advice I'd give myself is to be less focused on the execution or the end point of the plot and to allow more room for character.
But back in the day, the games had no end. At least not intentionally. They just kind of were about characters.
Right. And that's,
and their adventure, and the adventure kind of goes on and on and on. And
I don't think that's so much quite what I'm getting at. I'm not talking.
And that's not really even a bad thing.
Right. No, it's not. And I'm not talking about the end as in like the end of the story. I mean more like the end as in, you know, when you talk about the ends justifying the means, that kind of a thing. The ends in terms of the goals that I was trying to accomplish, that I was so focused on the destination, even if the destination is not the end of the campaign. Let's say it's a particular plot point or whatever, that characters, both player characters and non-player characters, really got no development along the way. There were these very stripped-down, simplified archetypes. The idea that these were stories about people really never entered into our thinking until our group merged with another gaming group that, in truth, probably had the reverse problem. Mm-hmm. That they were so focused on characters that the games, quite frankly, in many ways were nonsensical.
They were almost even non-existent. They were settings for the characters.
Except it wasn't even quite a sandbox. It was...
Yeah.
It's really hard to describe.
The characters weren't deep or interesting enough to justify... I mean, you could play a game where it really revolves around the characters because you make a great backstory, you put lots of NPCs behind it, you put motivations, you put tragedy and danger and stuff, program that into the characters, and you do that for the game will make itself. The thing is, we were teenagers and their characters were, while flashy and interesting, were not deep or meaningful. You know, they just kind of sprung from the earth, and they sprung from the earth being awesome.
Yeah.
And that was really about it.
Yeah. All right. See the next one now. This may be the last one we do for this bonus episode. Once again, I need to keep it fairly short for editing purposes.
And Brodor is going to whip his out at any moment.
Oh, no. Through all that air, you can't see
I mean, I'm hung like a mouse. All you're gonna get, it's gonna be like I took Sam Jackson from Pulp Fiction and I put him in the scissor lock, and you're just gonna get greasy, sheened up fro.
What is it that Mike Your Frank cock says? It's so short, but look how thin it is. That's what he says.
Does your have a bad motherfucker wallet?
No. It does have freckles, though.
Oh, well, that makes up for it.
It's the second time I've referenced that on your show.
So the second question. If you could tell any person or persons, okay, so this could be one person, this could be a company, this could be the industry as a whole. You could tell any one person or persons in the gaming industry anything you wanted at any point in time, from right now all the way back to the beginning of role-playing games as we know them in the 1970s. They had to listen to you and at least contemplate what you're saying. You don't know necessarily if they're going to follow up on it, but you know for a fact they have to listen to you and take you seriously. Who would you tell what?
We need to pause for contemplation time because, I mean, that is a target-rich environment. There's so many good games that I have seen personally just as a fan, but then also as a retailer, that things that I wish would have been commercially successful that were not, that fell by the wayside. And then there were things that were hugely popular that personally, as a fan of role-playing games, I didn't quite understand, but then they were. But then there were like the tragedies, like the World of Darkness going essentially tits up. Mm-hmm. Because they tried the new World of Darkness. But for me, I think it would run into, I would go to WotC/Hasbro and
say online, eject.
Right. And I would tell them, I would say, look, guys, listen, you've got a really sweet thing going here with this 3.5. 3 was good. 3.5 was a legitimate improvement. But if you go from 3.5 to 4th edition, you are going to ruin your brand. And Paizo, who's publishing your magazines right now, Dungeon & Dragon, they are going to, the first time in the history of this industry, they are going to usurp your title as number one selling role-playing game.
So you'd basically hand them 5th edition.
Right.
And be like, let's just go from 3.5 to this.
Right. Let's just go from 3.5 to that. So the complaint would be, look, this is so complicated. It's so burdensome. There's so many options. Let's get back to roots. Let's just completely ignore this 5th or 4th edition thing and jump straight to 5. And then I'd want some stock.
You know, mine is going to be, I don't know,
probably go back in time to FASA and say, hey, you see these, like, what, 13 designs? Don't use them. No. You're stealing.
No.
This is stealing. You will have your pants sued off, and it's morally wrong.
Truth. But ultimately, that's not what sunk their ship.
No.
And the thing is, I would love to tell you that I would go back in time to FASA and to tell them the market and financial choices they were making that sank them and keep them from doing it. But the problem is, those conversations occurred. Yeah. I was party to some of them. Mm. There were multiple people that told them, you are really making mistakes where you're taking your games and where you're taking your company. And so I don't know that I would have anything to add to that. And so instead, I'm going to go through kind of a different route here, which is, if I had been in the position I am today back then, what I would have loved to have done is go back to FASA as they're shutting down and clearing out their IPs. And picked up several of them. Mm. And basically, I mean, I actually came pretty close to getting Battletech.com when it was between hands, when it was switching hands. I almost sniped it. Mm-hmm. I came damn close. I don't know what I would have done if I'd gotten it, because I didn't have the rights to Battletech.
Yeah.
Just Battletech.com.
They probably could have sued you to get it because you
It's only cyber squatting if you don't use it in good faith. Mm. If I'd actually
made it like a Battletech fan site.
Exactly. Yeah. If I'd actually made a Battletech fan site or something like that, I could have kept it.
That has a spin-off question then. Do you guys have IPs that you wish you could accumulate that are no longer around anymore? But I mean, that's
What's the one with the monster thing? Where people turned into monsters.
Oh, Nightspawn, later Nightbane.
Nightbane, yeah.
It was originally Nightspawn, then became Nightbane.
Yeah.
Did they get sued by Todd McFarlane?
Yes.
I hate that guy.
Yeah, he's a dick.
I know. Somehow Nightspawn, it was ridiculous.
Well, it has Spawn in the name, you know.
Sure.
Because Trout didn't own that first.
Exactly, yeah. All right, we've lost John. We're going to try and get him back for the next episode, but we'll just go ahead and wrap this one up without him.
Pat, I think you're the only one who hasn't answered the question. Any game company, any game creator, or the gaming industry as a whole.
Could I blow Monte Cook?
Look, you could do it right now.
Like, I would. I mean, I actually went up to him at Gen Con.
You almost want to get him on the show
and I told him, I said, you know, I said it was such the nerdiest thing I've ever done. I walked up to him and I said, the condition rules in the Dungeon Master's Guides are some of the best rules that I've ever read.
Oh, he's offline. Otherwise, I was actually going to try and pull him on the show and see if he'd answer the question, but he's offline right now.
Answer the question of, can Brodor give you a blowjob at Gen Con next year? What would it take?
We've never done a drive-by like this with anyone. At some point, we were going to do it with the D&D helpline.
Yeah, look what happened to them.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was just thinking about it, destroyed them.
See, this was all just an elaborate ruse to give Pat time to think.
What I would do is I would go back in time and I would push R.A. Salvatore off of a cliff.
Wow. Damn.
That's some cold shit. I hear he's actually a really nice guy.
Isn't he like, dead?
He's a delightful man.
Yeah.
I thought he was dead. Oh, no. R.A. Salvatore. I'm thinking of Pete. For some reason, I got him completely mixed up with Parkinson? Who's the...
The disease?
No.
Harlan Ellis?
No, the artist. Now I'm about to Google it.
Oh, I know. You're talking the artist that did all the books, like the...
Like Keith Parkinson, right?
No, I'm not sure.
So you're pushing Salvatore off a cliff.
Is it
a really high cliff, or is it maybe just a little?
Maybe a low one. Maybe just trip him. So that maybe just trip him and say the whole dark elf thing. Keith Parkinson.
All right, I had the name right. Keith Parkinson. I had R.A. Salvatore mixed up with Keith Parkinson, the artist.
So why do you?
I read
the books, and when I was a teenager,
Now you're not advocating the killing of R.A. Salvatore. You're just talking about like maybe just tripping him a little bit in a park.
Yeah,
and not saying, even hey,
me.
Dude,
and maybe no, some
yeah.
butt stuff.
Not even yeah. me. Yeah, maybe what I do is I'd say R.A. I'd say Raw, come on, Raw. Let's take a trip to Vegas. We're gonna go to this cool place I've heard about. Drive-through handies.
It's just hand stuff.
It's just hand stuff. Yeah. Just some hand stuff. And we're going to do some hand stuff. Okay? And it's, you know, both hands. Don't get any ideas about putting swords in both of them or anything like that. Okay?
He's going to put a sword in at least one of them.
Can I say something controversial?
Please do.
All right. So the Tolkien books blow, right?
Oh,
I mean, the Hobbit's readable. The other three, the trilogy
that John did drop off.
They blow. But I want R.A. Salvatore to write the Tolkien Combat Companion. So when I'm in Fellowship and I get to that boring ass paragraph about the Balrog, I have four chapters of combat by R.A. Salvatore. And then when I'm done, I go back and I read Tolkien's dry ass boring book. And then, we're at Amon Hen and they're attacked by the Uruk-hai scouts. I'm like, oh. Now, at this point, turn to page whatever of your R.A. Salvatore, Tolkien Combat Companion, patent pending, and then you read the fight, and it's good and exciting and interesting.
So I changed my mind. I go back, and I give Broder's dad a condom.
My parents were hate. They hated each other. If there were two people who should have never had children, it's them.
Raw, go for it. Right till your heart's content. Just give me a fucking condom. This guy's dad. That's
I don't know if my dad would wear one. I don't know.
All right. So I'm sorry you tuned in. Have a great week of great games. We're going to try and reset the internet. Stop the whole internet. I get John back on for the next episode, which we will catch you with next week.
Tolkien sucks. Yeah.
Oh my god. Oh no. Tolkien's like the Beatles, man. You completely have to respect. I would not have my hobby if it were not for Tolkien.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But it's not my cup of tea, man. It is dry like turkey in the sun.
It just...